Last time I spoke, talked about some of the functions of the Holy Spirit. And then Natalie followed up with that about speaking about the Holy Spirit and impressing. And I want to continue on talking about the Holy Spirit, because I think one of the most important things in life, the most important thing in the kingdom of God, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Without that, you don't have kingdom life.
Yeah.
And you can't really exhaust the aspects of Him. So I want to talk about just one thing, even though it's a three-part sermon. Yeah, I'll break it up. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence. And I thank you that even when we're not paying attention or not listening, you're still active in our lives. But Father, now I just ask that every person here would turn their heart towards you, open up the eyes and ears of their heart, and really receive from you. I thank you that we can gather, and I thank you we can fellowship, and I thank you we can be a community in service of you. I just ask that you would receive glory, honor, and praise, and be blessed by our attention to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I won't be long. I know I address it usually all the time. But I don't want us to rush out of here. There's always things going on in life. You know, but I grew up in this place, and after the service, it was usually around here. I spent a while down here all the time. And as a child, it was always under my dad's big body, you know, and he'd always drag me down there with him, and he would just be seeking the Lord after the service. But it's like ingrained in me. You know, there's something special about coming up to the altar and giving the Lord your attention. And we need to get back to some ministry at the altar and seeking the Lord. So I don't want you running out of here. Just because I'm done doesn't mean he's done or you're done with him. So we're going to start focusing on some ministry time. You're going to be invited down to the altar. I'm going to expect you to move accordingly. And if you need to fellowship and stuff, we encourage fellowship. We have a nice foyer out there. You can sit and fellowship, and some will go out for lunch, and some will go over to afterglows. God moves in all those things. You know, but you only get a small portion of your week where you can seek him at the altar. Don't miss those opportunities. God does wonderful things when we leave this place and touches lives, but I've seen God radically change people's lives simply because in faith they moved and came down to the altar. So you will be given that opportunity. Respect those that do come down. Don't have conversations in here. You know, let's honor one another and honor God in so doing. All right, 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For those of you that don't believe on the laying on of hands, study this verse. You can argue the rest with me as much as you want, but something happened here. And he wouldn't have said if it wasn't meaningful. For God has not given us, that includes you, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Today I want to talk about the spirit of power. Good. There's many in the church that believe different cessation periods and that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the activities of the Holy Spirit were all for certain times. I'm telling you today that the church isn't moving like the church should move and could move because the church doesn't want to operate on the main function of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of power. And power isn't necessarily what you think it is. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks signs and wonders and miracles. I want wonders and miracles. I would love to walk into the hospital and have everybody just get out and leave. A lot of people would be out of work. God would have to provide. But I'd love to walk through the cemetery and graves open up. That would be cool. But there's so many other things that are far more miraculous. Seeing someone give their heart to the Lord. Seeing their life. Seeing someone born again. Simple things. Seeing someone go from anger to joy. From sadness to joy, to gladness. I mean, we miss all these things that happen with the Spirit of power actively moving in our lives. Luke 24, verse 49 says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. How many of you know God keeps promises? But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. See, sometimes we just have to be faithful enough to wait to receive what God has told us we're going to receive. Sometimes we have to just learn how to appropriate what already has been given to us. Acts 1:7 says, He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why? Because he is the Spirit of power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, we talked about it before. The seal of your salvation is the Holy Spirit in your lives. Therefore, if you are saved, you have the fullness of the power of God in your life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. You will receive power. I think the Bible is often so neglected, often so misunderstood, but such a great demonstration of what life is supposed to be about if you really pay attention to it. And the greatest example of Christian life we have in the Bible is Jesus. 4 says this, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I don't know a lot of your lives, the things you've gone through. It would take a great amount of time, which I don't have. You probably don't have to tell me all the things that you've gone through in life and to share and, you know, see how God maneuvered things for you and you've come out victorious. But the wilderness isn't exactly a fun place to go. You know, I've been watching these shows called Alone. My wife just shakes her head. It's like the same thing. They fish, they don't catch something, they starve. They fish, they don't catch something, they starve. 50 days later, they're fishing, they're not catching nothing, they're starving. And that kind of describes the wilderness. everything you're wanting, everything you're needing, everything you're hoping for, you can't attain it. It's just, Jesus went through a time. But he didn't eat, drink for 40 days. Anyone want to sign up for that? I like going on cruises because there's all kinds of beverages and food, you know. I like go on vacation to the wilderness. Let's pitch a tent and starve. Great fun. Full of the Holy Spirit was led into the wilderness. In Luke 14, verse 14, same chapter. Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, something happened in Jesus that has happened in you, and you just need to start recognizing and be aware of what has happened. Holy Spirit's been given. He now leads you into places, and you come out in power. I'll say it this way. If Jesus needed the Spirit of power to fulfill his ministry, how much more do you need the Spirit of power to fulfill your ministry? If Jesus needed the Spirit of power to go through the testing that confirmed that power, how much more do you need the Spirit of power to go through life's testing to confirm that power? See, we all want the power, but we don't want to go through the test to come out and say, we're in power. Maybe I'll put a sign-up sheet out in the foyer next week for times of testing and see how many sign up. I'd like things to go really awful this week to show them that I can overcome through Holy Spirit. And everyone sign up. Luke 4:36. I'm liking Luke 4. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out. See, Jesus' ministry, once he was full of the Holy Spirit, was filled with the things we really like. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Right? And it does say these things will follow those who believe. We shouldn't be in that awe of those things that should be natural to us. We should be appreciative of them. Luke 5, verse 17 says, one day Jesus was teaching and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, so from all over the place. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about how Jesus lived, because that's how we're supposed to live. I'm talking about the recognition of what you've been giving, what you've been given, what you have, what you possess, what possesses you, and how it can affect your everyday life. It's called the Spirit of power. Healing the sick is just a natural outcome of your presence. Luke 6:19 says, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. I fully expect one day the Lord's going to stop me and say, stroll through that hospital. Why? Because why else would I think about it? It's not one of my natural thoughts. And I think the whole floor will be healed. But he has to lead me to do it. I'm just waiting for the sign. I'll give you an honest testimony, not that I would ever give you a false one. I don't ever recall praying for somebody for healing when the Holy Spirit told me to pray for that person for healing, where that person wasn't healed. Ever. Now, I prayed for plenty of people that have asked for prayer for healing, plenty and not seen them healed. But I have never been led by the Holy Spirit to participate in something that the Holy Spirit didn't do what he asked me to do. Never. So what's my point? Being aware of what he wants to do in and through you all the time. And I'm not saying don't step out of the boat. Be prepared to swim. But sometimes you will walk on water if he's leading you. Luke 9:1 says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, Miles Monroe, in one of his books, he's a kingdom guy, says the most important person in the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Most important person in your life should be Holy Spirit. Why? Because he governs everything. The culture, everything that is. Jesus said he'll take from the Father what's the Father's and give it to you. Now, in my mind, and I could be wrong, but I know I'm not. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no sorrow. You know, there's no lack. There's no weakness. I think of all these things, and you can say, well, yeah, we're not in heaven. I am. It says we're seated in heavenly places with Christ right now. So it says that everywhere we step, if I'm an ambassador of Christ, an ambassador of heaven, every place I put my step is considered heaven by the governor of heaven, which means he has full reign to be active in that space that I dwell. That means wherever you go, if you're aware of it, he has full access to do what he wants to do in the space that you dwell. Claim it for him. We should be staking a claim everywhere we go. But I want you to understand, Jesus showed us how kingdom living is supposed to look like. And all he did was yield to that which would has that which was given to him, which is Holy Spirit. Power and authority. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says this, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Now, if you are a believer, and why do I keep saying that? Because I don't know. I'm pretty sure I could walk in any church and someone's not a believer, even if they say they are. Which was why a few weeks back I wanted to challenge us on it. We should know, we should be assured. Why? Because I have this hope, I'm not going to die. I'm just like cashing in a new uniform. Time to exchange this one, worn this one out. My hope is in the power of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If I will live in that hope, there will be a day that's coming for me that there will be no sting of death because it'll be just a temporary place, a quick little pit stop on to greater things. There's a hope knowing I can live today with the Spirit of power functioning in my life. I don't have to go through any moment of the day in despair. I don't have to look at situations and let them overcome me, overwhelm me, if I know whom is in me. Jesus showed us how to live in this world and not be of this world. It's called the Spirit of power. First Corinthians 2:3. Paul speaking, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, Why? So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. See, power in your life needs to be shown by a demonstration of that power. Otherwise, you're just talk. Do you look to demonstrate the power of Holy Spirit in your life? I know so many people, especially, they just wanted to be saved. Great. One day you'll go to heaven. But you lived 50 miserable years when you could have been victorious. I've seen people live that way. We're not going to be that way, church. I'll tell you first and foremost, we are going to honor the presence of God. If you think you can come into this place and just sit on your butt, you're not being aware of the presence of God. I'm sorry, it's hard to stay on your butt in the presence of God. Might be on your face. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't know how much joy I express when I'm sitting on my butt. Maybe if I'm holding my granddaughter and she's laughing at me and stuff, that's really fun. I was having a great time with my granddaughter and with the Lord. You know, he's there with me. He loves that stuff. It's time we get with it. You know, and I'm not casting stones at anybody. I'm trying to encourage you. You have the spirit of power that wants to move and function in your life. And it's a hoot if you'll let him. You want to have a great time with God? Let him be active in your life. You know, Rich would run around the place if God would heal him right now. I guarantee it. He'd have fun. You know, one day for Rich, that if won't be an if. It'll just happen. Until then, he abides in faith, trying to attain what's already been provided for him. Pain doesn't exist in heaven. Power needs demonstration. I think the Eagles demonstrated some power last week over the Chiefs. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that's you, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, if you have any doubt that power needs demonstration, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. You know, you can use wise and persuasive words. You can get into some intellectual debate with some very intelligent people. But when you demonstrate power, they have nothing to say other than you're right. Touch an atheist who's sick and wants to convince you that God doesn't exist, and you declare the name of Jesus over that infirmity and see him whole, he's no longer an atheist. I don't believe there are any atheists, but they'll all cry out to God, because that's the word of God says, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that he's Lord. There's no such thing as an atheist. Anyways, power needs demonstration. Look for opportunities to partner with Holy Spirit. So what's all this power for other than for us to show off? No, really. Because some of you think, yay, I get to do all these things and look at me, that's not what it's for at all. Remember, we want to give God glory, see him glorified. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, his divine power, the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now that's a mouthful, if you get it. You know, sometimes I can come across kind of harsh because I'll say things like, you know, don't come to me and whine. You know, I'm really not going to join your pity party. Because it says you've been given everything you need. Now, I can have compassion with you. I can even empathize with what you're going through. But I know this, and you should know this. You have everything you need. Everything you need. Why? Because his word says you've been given everything you need by his divine power to live a godly life. Well, I struggle with this. Well, stop that and go there. Is that simple? Yeah. Why? Because you've been given power to stop this and go that way. I can't make it any more plain. You've been given the power to make correct choices. Wow, what a novel idea. Right, wrong. Let's see. I don't know what to do. No, you do know what to do. Make the right choice. As Terry said in politics, right. Yeah. The right choice. Yeah. The spirit of power has been given you so you can live a godly life. There is no struggle with sin in heaven. There's no struggle with sin in the kingdom of God. Why? Because he's overcome, makes you an overcomer. You died with Christ. He now lives with you. He already conquered it. There is no struggle. So why? What? Quit. It's that simple? Yeah. But I do this and I don't want to do this. Apparently you do. I honestly don't do things I don't want to do. Why would I? I'm not really good with people that make excuses. I apologize. But I'll probably always be like that. You know, I'll stand someday before the judgment seat of God, and all I can do is ask him for mercy because, you know, other than what he did in my life, I deserve nothing. Second Corinthians 10:3. What do we need power for? For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We're kind of just talking about that. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. See, we have been given the power to war. What I was describing in our lives that is so simple, it really can be a war. Oh, I struggle with this. Okay, it's time for war. Word says you've been given the mind of Christ. How about, you know, apprehending his thought in this situation and see if your choice actually changes. Ephesians 3:16. We've received, let's see, what are my points? You need power. You demonstrate power. Power to live godly, holy, and righteous. Power to war. Power to know him. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We need to know him. We choose to not live in the fullness of the kingdom of God in this world because we fail to pursue our knowledge of him. See, knowledge puffs up, but knowing him keeps us humble. Knowing him keeps us connected to the source of all power and authority. Knowing him lets us live this life in the supernatural instead of the natural. Knowing him knows that I bring something into this natural realm that is above everything I'm encountering. Therefore, I can impact it for his glory. You've been given the spirit of power to know him. Getting down the back stretch. The power to forgive. John 20, verse 21 says this. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Say, "I am sent." You are sent. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." That's power. It doesn't say they asked for forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is a function of the Holy Spirit of power in your life. If you will forgive them, their sins will be forgiven. Why? Because you have power to forgive sins, because the Spirit of power has been given you under the authority of Jesus. What does the world need? Us to forgive them. You don't think you can have an impact? Walk down the aisle, just forgive everybody that walks by. You don't need to know their garbage. How does city come to Christ? Oh, we forgave everybody in the city. You don't think it happened? Then you don't know the spirit of power at work in your life. Word of God says to me that all things can happen. All things are possible. Why can't a whole city come to him? Because the church decided to forgive everyone. Mark 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer..." I'll say it another way. Anything you ask, see, whatever, anything, prayer. I think I covered it. "Believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Matthew 6:14, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Power to forgive. Function of the Holy Spirit in your life. A lot of these things we've been talking about, we don't necessarily equate with power because we like go for the big ones. You know, raise them from the dead. Yeah. That'd be cool. I just don't know that there's anything better than seeing someone give their life to the Lord. I don't know. I know all of heaven rejoices. I don't know any other miracle that I've heard that heaven rejoices. I think of Bud a lot. Bud passed away a little bit, you know, for anyone that doesn't know. Because Bud, I had all these stories, you know, just everyday stories. You know, and he'd tell me, yeah, I went to whatever store today and God told me this or God told me that. I wonder what he'd tell me now. You know, I want to know what he knows now. And why do I, you know, that's not impossible. I want to know what Bud knows now, because Bud has the fullness of revelation that we have available to us now. It's called the Spirit of Power. So I'm going to ask that you stand with me as I close this. And this really will be the altar call as well. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You say, why would you bring up that verse to the people of God? And here's why. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. So my question to you, in closing, is this. Are you going to deny the power that's been given you? Because denying the power is denying him. You've been called to embrace the power and show forth him. So as I close in prayer, I'm simply going to say this. If you're willing to live in power, if you're willing to accept the Spirit of power in your life, I want you to find a place. If you need power to be active in your life and you want prayer for it, just come up and stand and someone led by the Spirit will come up and pray for you. Really that simple. But Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. So only you can receive the glory and the power and the praise and the honor. Father, I ask for favor upon your people. I ask that you draw their attention to you so that you can move how you would like to move in their lives and their joy can be complete in you and they'll know the fullness of your favor, of your abundance, of your goodness, of everything that you are in their lives. And I thank you for that. Meet them now as they step out in search of more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. The altars are open.